Good morning, a Monday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, let's start with the growing coronavirus we see has entered Italy, and each country that gets hit with this has gone further into restricting travel. You see, for example, these cruise ships. Would you be taking a cruise at this point, Alan?
You wouldn't, with a gun, get me onto a cruise ship. I think it's just asking for trouble. Now, David, on almost every television channel you turn on, there's an ad. Free drinks, free this, free that, if you get on one of those ships. What, are you out of your mind? I just don't think it's a very good idea, and I would advise everybody against it. I have a wife who loves to travel, and sooner or later this year we'll be going somewhere. But I tell you, I look very carefully as to whether or not there are coronaviruses present in whatever society she's suggesting, and it's a huge thing. Now, the president of the United States knows this is bad news, and he's scared about it. And when they let some U.S. citizens back into the country, he exploded. He didn't want it. And he knows that if this thing goes here, it's going to hurt. His stock market, which is his number one reason, he explains to everybody, for re-election, is going down. It's gone down for several days, and it will continue to go down as long as the coronavirus threatens the sort of interdependency that the United States has, like it or not, with China. And it is obvious that so many things, David, are being made in China that go into U.S. products. So we know that this is a very dangerous situation for the president of the United States. It's been often said that he cannot lose if the stock market stays where it is, goes up and up and up. But if it starts to really go down, he could get hurt. And he knows it. And that's why this explosion from him about letting Americans back into America. Can you imagine if you were on that ship and the president of the United States says, I don't want them back in here?
Well, who do Democrats want to take on President Trump? We saw quite a victory for Bernie Sanders in Nevada, the caucus there, as we head to a debate in South Carolina tomorrow night. Your thoughts this morning after the momentum clearly in Sanders' favor at this point?
No question, you're right about that. The latest polls in South Carolina show Biden ahead, but not by much. I believe it's 4 or 5 points, something like that. And those can be very close to margin of error. So if Sanders pulls it off there, it's going to be very hard for anybody to stop him. Now you see Buttigieg coming out and blasting Sanders. As you know, Sanders got basically a free ride in the last debate when they all took on Bloomberg and did everything in their power to destroy him, and there was Sanders sort of standing there. Now, Sanders obviously has to deal with this, and he will be attacked in the next debate because he's the front runner, and front runners get it. Now, there are those who think that Sanders cannot win because he's too far to the left. On the other hand, there are those who want something different. They don't want the old Clinton-esque middle-of-the-road approach, and they are saying, we want something different. And you see the turnout among, for example, for Sanders, Hispanics. Huge turnout. Also, a very substantial turnout among young people. Whether they actually vote, you and I both have taught and are teaching college classes, David, and we know it takes an awful lot to get a kid to go out and vote, no matter what they say. So if the half of the country that doesn't vote, among which are certainly more Democrats than Republicans, turn out, then Trump will lose. And that's what this is all going to be about, turnout.
And of course, Bernie Sanders, if he becomes the nominee, doesn't he have to face the fact that, first of all, the president keeps saying he wants Bernie Sanders to be the nominee, and I assume that's because he can use the C word, communism.
And he also calls him Crazy Bernie. Sanders has a couple of other problems. I mean, he did have a heart attack. They're not what they once were. But on the other hand, there's calls for him to release his medical records, which he says he won't do. At least that's my understanding of it. That's on him, which is going to make his vice presidential pick extremely important. And David, I'm thinking, since there's common wisdom that it should be a woman, and Sanders does not want to charge a misogyny, it is a question of who he picks. Now, Elizabeth Warren, of course, becomes very attractive, although she's from the next state over. So it doesn't get you very much geographical diversity, which is often needed. But, you know, the one thing about Sanders that we all know is that he doesn't compromise. He doesn't say, okay, I'm to the left, but I'll take somebody who's to the right or to the middle. He won't do that, I don't think. So you have to start to think about who would be a natural running mate for him. I'm sure he's thinking that way, too. Right now, it does look like it's Sanders to lose. We'll see.
Alan, I saw you were talking to Murray again. I know he has been trained.
He learned at the Literacy Network of Southern Berkshire. Of course, that's a joke, but they are a wonderful group who do this extraordinary work, taking new people into the country and teaching them the skills that they need to get by. But
the news that you and Murray were talking about in your Berkshire Edge column was that GE has stopped its matching of grants to nonprofits, something that WAMC and so many other wonderful organizations benefit from.
Well, that's right. Now, WAMC will make out because we have the best audience in the world, but many other not-for-profits will not. And it is really too bad. In the meantime, GE has come to an understanding with several towns in the Berkshires that they'll take the PCBs out of the river, they'll send some away, but they'll bury some. And that has caused fierce consternation among people who live in those towns, even though the towns will get some money for their budgets. And some of their leadership likes the idea. The Berkshire Eagle heavily endorsed it. I think they were wrong, and my column next week is going to deal with why they were wrong and what needs to be done. You know, if you're going to negotiate with GE, you got to stick with it. You can't say, okay, we got the best deal possible. No, there are better deals. Remember Love Canal. The last thing you want to do is to make a deal where stuff that gets buried somehow, despite the assurances that it won't, leaks out.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. As always, we thank you for your thoughts.
And thank you for having me, David. I so appreciate it.